ॐ जननीं शारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मे तयोः श्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः। ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः हरिः। ॐ
ॐ मे ब्रह्मन् प्रोटेक्ट अस बोथ। May Brahman bestow upon us both the fruit of knowledge. May we both obtain the energy to acquire knowledge. May what we both study reveal the truth. May we cherish no ill feeling toward each other. Om, peace, peace, peace be unto all.
We are studying the third chapter called Bhrigavalli of the Taittiriya Upanishad in our last class. We completed the 8th Anuvaka. A series of vows, pratams, are being expounded here by the Upanishad, and all these vows belong to Karma Yoga. Karma Yoga means spiritual sadhana. Every sadhana must have a goal in mind called sadhyam. And what is the sadhyam? We have seen that Bhrigu wanted to know how I can realize that I am Brahman. He must have had theoretical knowledge that I am Brahman, each soul is Brahman, this world is nothing but Brahman. I know theoretically, but how do I get out of these limitations? How do I become Satyam, Jnanam, Anantam? So, we know he approached and the Guru happened to be his own father, gave him beautiful directions. He said, you go to the ultimate cause from where this whole universe is coming. What does the father mean? He meant, if you once find the ultimate cause, whatever is the nature of that ultimate cause, the effect also will be exactly the same. Any number of ornaments are made up of gold will be nothing other than gold. Any furniture, past, present, future, cannot be anything else excepting wood. So, even though for the sake of expanding ourselves, we give a peculiar name called Maya, Avidya, Mithya, but our real goal is not to think about Mithya, but to realize the real nature of this universe, creation, my own self, and everybody else. The purpose of bringing light, when a person has mistaken an innocent rope as a ferocious, poisonous snake, is to become free from the consequences of that ignorance. So what are the consequences of ignorance called Maya? We are all suffering from repeated births and deaths, sixfold changes, unfulfilled desires, and especially fear. And what is fear? Not knowing one's own nature is called fear. So that is the goal of Bhrigu, and the teacher had given him the right directions and how one has to transcend step by step from Annamaya Kosha and then make Annamaya Kosha Brahman, Annam Brahmeti Vedam, then find out its limitations, move on to the next higher or subtler, more pervading or cause. The cause of Annamaya Kosha is Pranamaya Kosha, then sanctify it, sacralize, make it sacred. Prano Brahmeti Vyajanat. Then Mano Brahmeti Vyajanat. Then Vijnanam Brahmeti Vyajanat. Then Anandam Brahmeti Vyajanat. So the clue to understanding these steps is Vyajanath. I understood. But whatever I understand is not me. Whatever I am, that is me. So, Bhrigu understood Aham Brahma Asmi. Now, after that, the Upanishad enumerates as if it is telling to all of us, giving a hint, a clue, that just as Bhrigu had done tapasya, and what tapasya did Bhrigu do? He performed this karma yoga. What is karma yoga? That everything is God. It is God who is the doer. It is God who is the action. It is God who is obtained, who is attained. So, God is one who does. God is one who enjoys. Karta and Bhokta, everything is God only. Brahman does the action. Brahman enjoys the results of the action. Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma, nothing else exists. So, karma yoga must lead us to that knowledge that Brahman alone is manifesting in this world as Namarupa. As we have seen in the 6th section of the 1st chapter of Brihadaranyaka, Nama, Rupa and Karma. That karma yoga by which we can understand that I am Brahman with Namarupa. I am none other than Brahman. For that, this karma yoga has to be done. For the purpose of karma yoga, certain fundamental spiritual practices were enumerated here. One of them is that make everything sacred, look upon everything as Brahman, the whole universe as Brahman. But we have to start from the beginning. And especially, according to the division of the Hindu scriptures, the life of human being is divided into 4 categories. It is not according to age of the body. It is according to the development of the consciousness, states of consciousness. Learn first, then practice, experiment, experience, then the knowledge will come. What knowledge will come? That what I am seeking, even if I get, it will never give me the satisfaction. What I am seeking is not an object. What I am seeking is unbroken happiness. And nothing in this world can give me unbroken happiness. Why? Because everything is opposite to satyam. Anatma is asatyam. So, I want satyam. Then the person turns inward. How does the person turn inward? It is only through karma yoga. Karma yoga first purifies the mind, advances us in concentration, expands our identity, finally opens the door to the Sushumna Marga. That is how, according to the tantric explanation, we progress from a lower state of consciousness to a higher and higher states of consciousnesses, and finally become one with consciousness, knowing I am pure consciousness, I am Chaitanya, I am Brahman. For that purpose, some vows have to be taken. A vow is that which forces us to develop willpower, because I am promising to God. And we have seen that there 3 vows were taken. What is the first vow? Never ever criticize annam. Annam na nindyat. What does it mean? Never criticize anything, anybody in this world. Annam means the whole universe. And then annam na parichakshita. Never waste. Do not waste your time. Do not waste others' time. Do not waste your energy. Do not waste other people's energy. Whatever promotes your welfare, your happiness, also others' welfare, others' happiness, go on doing that one. And then, annam bahu kurvita. So, the food must be made much. This is the 3rd vrata that has come in the 9th section. And we have progress to some extent in the ninth section. We have seen that one, that it is the duty of every householder to produce as much food as possible, and this is part of karma yoga, and one takes a vow, promises God that I will try to increase food. Food means that which gives life, that which increases happiness of not only oneself, but everybody else. First oneself, then the family, then the neighbors, in fact the whole world, including the birds, insects, etc. I hinted earlier that when a person, especially a Brahmana, orthodox Brahmin, before taking food, he divides it, takes a small bit of it with utterance of particular mantras, put it in front of a plate, symbolizing that I will try to share all whatever I have. I will earn righteously, dharmically, and I will also share with others. And we have also seen the sharing is not losing. Actually, the sharing is, and that idea also will come in future. We will talk about it when it comes. It is saving. Upanishad gives a very peculiar, beautiful concept. You save the annam, and annam will save you. How do you save annam? Not by putting it in the vaults of the bank or in the silos. No. You distribute it, and you are storing it in everybody. And then when the time comes, you can borrow. Because whether people like it or not, it's not the people. It is God. So if you give with the idea, I am returning it to God because God has given me. That is the idea of Panchamahayagna. And that produces punyam. And according to the quantity and quality of what we have done, it comes back to us in the form of karma phala. And that is beautifully expressed. We will see it in future. So, let a householder do, multiply as much as possible. But with the condition, very important for us, life should be divided into not only for earning one's own livelihood, but also helping other people, sharing with other people, because that shows our love, and not sharing with people, but offering it to God, who appears to us in the form of the people, animals, etc., etc. So this is what we need to understand. Tadvratam. And then we were seeing this whole universe is inextricable net. Every thread is interconnected with the other thread. And if anybody separates oneself, that person will not survive. So we have to integrate ourselves as part and parcel. This is what Visishtadvaita wants to emphasize. Each one of us is a part of God's body. The whole world is, the whole creation is nothing but the body of God. So, there are certain relationships are mentioned here to emphasize the fact we are all related to the world. First relationship is annam annadaha. Annam means that which is enjoyed. Annadaha means that which he who is the enjoyer. I enjoy you, you enjoy me. I enjoy food, food also enjoys me. So I enjoy the world enjoys me. And this is the invariable and impossible to cut it relationship. This is called holistic attitude. So everybody is related to us. We are dependent upon them. They are dependent upon us. That is the second way of the Upanishadic expression, and that is called pratishthita pratishthitam relationship. Supported supporter relationship. For example, we have already dealt with it. When we are children, our parents support us. And when we grow up, we are capable of supporting, we support them. Then we, of course, support our own children. Then we will be supported when we become incapable, weak, old, etc. So, this is just as an example. Everything in this world has a supporter-supported relationship. This is called holistic attitude. And we are exploring this idea. Akasho anadaha, prithivyam akasha pratishtitaha, akashe prithivi pratishtita, tadetad annamanne pratishtitam, saya etad annamanne pratishtitam, veda pratitishtati, annavan anado bhavati, mahan bhavati, prajaya bhavati, pashuvir bhavati, brahma varchasena bhavati, mahan kirtya bhavati. So anybody who does this particular contemplation, anna upasana, annam bahu kurvita upasana, he will never be lacking enjoyment, he will be never lacking supporting from somewhere at the right time. Everything that is necessary for an enjoyment will come. Everything necessary to support us will come, provided we did the same thing when we are in the position of able to do. This is what Swami Vivekananda observed and said, India had become a frog in the well, neither receiving nor giving. And the law of life is give and take. You have something excess, valuable, give it to others. And others have something valuable, receive it from them. And both of us will get the benefit. This is the law that Swami Vivekananda was expounding. The moment India stopped giving, becoming a frog in the well, it stopped, it lost its capacity to receive. As a result, it started to become rotten. The famous example is, if you are in a room and never open your doors and windows, never allow fresh air to enter in, the air that which is within will turn into soon poison and then kill the person who is inside. But open the windows, what is inside will go out and what is outside will come in. And when we say what is inside will go out, we should never misunderstand what is our waste, we are giving it to others. No, there are certain creatures, living beings, who require what we breathe out and we require what they breathe out. So, parasparam bhavayantaha shreyan paramam avapsyatha. This is called te deva bhavayantuvaha. In the third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, it is said that both gods and men, they have this supporter-supported relationship. Men must support the gods by offerings, by worship, by praise, through gratitude. And they in their turn bestow upon us everything that needs to be offered to them. So you also enjoy, you also make gods pleased. Parasparam bhavayantaha shreyan paramam avapsyatha. Marvelous truth again and again presented in these prasthanatrayam, Bhagavad Gita, Upanishads and Brahma Sutras. So, let the knower of Brahman, means here, let the person who wants to realize Brahman, make food plentiful, that is the vow. Remember, this is an instruction for the householder. It doesn't apply for the student, for the retired person, vanaprasthi, much less for the sannyasi. All the three ashramas depend upon this person. So the earth is verily food, the akasha is the eater. The akasha rests on the earth and the earth rests on the akasha. Thus, food rests on food. Both are food. Each depend upon each other. So, akasha is the supporter and the earth is the supported. Earth becomes the supporter. Akasha becomes the supported. We discussed it. I'm just summarizing it, the points. Supposing there is a vast empty space and then if you don't do anything, it's not going to help you. So you construct a house. Now what happens? That akasha becomes very practical. Akasha means empty space. Space, empty space, Akasha is the same. Space means emptiness. We really need not use two words, empty and space. Space means emptiness. So, you construct a house and you fill it up with things. What supports these things? Space. If there were to be no space, you can't keep anything. You can't even enter into it. So, the house, which is nothing but space, supports you. And then, how do you support? How does the house support? Because by putting four walls and the ground and then the roof, then the prithvi is supporting the akasha, making it practically useful. Otherwise, the space as it is not very much useful. Of course it is useful. Whenever we move, we require the space. So by moving, the space supports us. And if we are not there, the space is useless. That is why rich people do not have children. They feel empty. So everything in this world is dependent upon everything. Actually, both the ideas, enjoyer and enjoyed, supporter and supported, if I translate them as experiencer and experienced, as subject and object, then it covers up everything. So without object, the word subject cannot even exist. Of course, without the word subject, a word object also has no meaning. They have full meaning only when both words exist. So, the whole world, God in the form of the world, He is the supporter, He is the enjoyer. And I, who is part of the Brahman, is also both the supporter, enjoyer, subject. So, the whole thing is subject and subject, object. Then the next, same thing, same idea, put in a different way, is cause and effect. See, if there is no effect, the word cause loses its meaning. And if there is no cause, we can never recognize any effect. There is a avinabhava sambandha, unbreakable relationship between these two. That is being expressed here. And he who knows this, that means understands this, that means his life is transformed. I cannot live without the world, and world cannot live without me. And therefore, it is my duty to share whatever I have with the world, and the world also will support me if I do this one. So by giving, I am becoming a recipient, proper recipient, making space for receiving whatever the world has got to give me. So this is how supporter and supported, subject and object, cause and effect, they are irrevocably, unbreakably related to each other, and this both are manifestations of Brahman. So, we have seen Annambahu Kurvita, a householder would be committing a heinous sin if he doesn't multiply food. So, what for? Share the excess food, one accumulates with those who do not have. So, food doesn't mean only that which is eaten in through the mouth, food, water, dress, shelter, safety, all these must be plenty, whoever can do according to their means. So, annam bahu kurvita. Then, this earth and akasha. From the Vedantic point of view, akasha is the cause and this earth is the lowest manifestation. Remember, the effect is nothing but cause. So, space is nothing but air. Air is nothing but fire. Fire is nothing but water. Water is nothing but earth. So, if you remove earth, then akasha will lose its title of cause. It cannot exist. And practically speaking, space supports us. If you want to cultivate food in a vast field, maybe 1,000 acres, but of course you will use a tractor instead of bullock carts or horse carts, horse plowshare. But it, the Akasha. How does it support? Through the atmosphere, through seasons, through rain. And it must be appropriate. Every season must be the right season. So this whole universe, creation means universe means creation, is absolutely interconnected and unbreakably having this relationship, equal relationship, supporter and supported, enjoyer and enjoyed, both in their terms becomes. That is the meaning of this ninth section we have seen. So what we have to remember when we are talking about Akasha, the moment you see Akasha, hear the word Akasha, you are remembering the space according to the scientists. But we have to remember we are studying the Upanishads. So remember Akasha according to our scripture, especially Taittiriya Upanishad. Akasha, Atmana Akasha. What is Akasha? Space, nothing but manifestation of Atman. The unmanifest Atman becomes a little bit manifest, though it is still unmanifest, until it becomes fire to all of us. So according to scripture, it is not emptiness. Space is the subtlest manifestation of Atman, and it is the subtlest form of matter. So any manifestation is matter. That matter only became air, fire, water, prithvi, and every object that we experience in this world. So, akashad vayuhu, vayur agnihi, agnerapaha. So, this is the relationship and tadeta annamanne pratishtitam. Thus, earth becomes the support and supporter, and then also supported. Space becomes again a supporter and as well as the support. Supported supporter. So, there is a relation, this an unbreakable relationship. And sayayatad annamane pratishtitam veda. He who realizes the whole universe is ultimately related to the Akasha, finest manifestation of matter or finest, grossest, gross manifestation of Atman. And he who knows, what does he get? Whoever meditates, does practice this upasana on this relationship of support, supported, enjoyer, enjoyed between the earth and space, will have no lack in life. Everything is obtained in abundance. Not only a person will get everything in abundance, and that is not enough, because I may have plenty of food, but if I don't have the capacity to eat, to chew even, to digest, then it is no use. Swami Brahmananji Maharaj used to say, when I was capable of eating, hardly I got anything to eat. And when I am not capable of digesting, eating, everything has come plenty. And I have helplessly to look to my sevaks and devotees who are so eager to share this Mahaprasada. And I have to be happy thinking that my happiness lies with their happiness. Even from that view also, angle also, this upasana will help a great deal. Are you not eating? Through everybody's mouth. That was the realization Divine Mother Kali had given to Sri Ramakrishna. Why could not she have given a little bit of hunger and say, Achya Baba, you eat some nice suji paisa, rave paisa, and fill up your stomach. Okay, pain will be there, but at least a little bit of enjoyment. The funny thing is, this Divine Mother wants to pull everybody's leg. It really means she is pulling her own legs. So, many years before, Sri Ramakrishna had a vision in which the Divine Mother assured him, since you love this rave paisa, suji paisa so much, in your old age, every day you will be getting. And Sri Ramakrishna was in the seventh heaven after having this vision, hearing mother's words. He knows it will come true. But when he realized that it is so painful to swallow this suji pais, said, is this called enjoying? You cheated me, O mother. He did not say it aloud, but I can guess, I can hear it very much. So, this person will be endowed with everything, not only abundance, but he will be also given the boon of the capacity to enjoy. That is the point. So, through these beautiful meditations, the following points must become clear in our minds. What is the first point? What are we talking about? That this relationship, intricate, unbreakable relationship between the enjoyer and enjoyed, that is anada anna relationship, and the supporter and supported relationship, must, if we successfully contemplate, will give us this knowledge. What knowledge? First, the entire world is nothing but the body of Saguna Brahma, Ishvara. Therefore, Ishvara is not somewhere far away, sitting in Brahma Loka or Ishvara Loka. That unmanifest Ishvara is revealed to us through to this Upasaka, and any Upasaka who does that as manifest as this world. Second, if everything in creation depends on one another like this, nothing has an independent existence. According to Advaita Vedanta, whatever is dependent upon something else is called mithya. Mithya means not non-existence. Mithya means unreliable. You can't rely upon it because it is changing continuously. Unreal, relative. Therefore, everything, my body, my mind, and the entire universe is mithya. Third point, if everything is mithya, mithya has no independent existence. It must be supported by some satyam. And that satyam, that substratum, is called Brahman. So the true substratum for this entire creation, which includes I and the whole world, is nothing but Brahman. So this realization, Brahman alone is real, this world is a manifestation of that Brahman only. So, that would be the firm knowledge of this person. Once a person has his joy, knows no bounds. So then, pramatru prameya relationship. Pramatru means the person who gets, obtains knowledge, knower. Prameya means the known. It is also falls under the subject-object, and both depend. If I am not there, what am I to know? And if there is no object, how do I become a pramatha? It is impossible. Without the knower, the known has no existence. Without the known, a knower also would not be a knower. So one of the teachers gives a beautiful example. If there is no teacher, the disciples cannot be called disciples. And if there are no disciples, then a teacher will not be a teacher at all. Both must be there. Sahana avavatu, sahana ubhunaktu, saha viryankara vavahai. So, but one must understand, Brahman is manifesting as the knower and the known, as the enjoyer and the enjoyed, as the supporter and the supported. And this is called Virat Upasana. This is called Vishwarupa Dhyanam. That is, seeing Narayana, seeing Shiva, seeing Ishvara in the form of this Vishwarupa. That is what Arjuna had seen and could not get any peace of mind in the 11th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Vishwarupa Sandarshana Yogo Nama Ekadasho Adhyayaha. With this, 9th Anuvaka is over. Dashama Anuvaka. Now we enter the final. This is the last Anuvaka. And it has got many mantras. And it is also contains one of the Mahavakyas. We will explore this as far as possible. First I will chant this one. Nakanchana vasatau pratyachakshita tadvratam tasmat yaya kayacha vithaya bahu annam prapnuyat aradhyasma annamitya chakshate etadvai mukhato annam radham mukhato asmat annam radhyate etadvai madhyato annam radham मध्यतो अस्मान् अन्नं राध्यते, एतद्वा अन्ततो अन्नं राद्धम्, अन्ततो अस्मात् अन्नं राध्यते, एंड य एवं वेद। ब्यूटिफुल व्रता, दिस इज द फोर्थ व्रता दट वी आर सीइंग। सो व्हाट डज इट मीन? न कंचन वसतौ प्रत्याचकृत। लेट मी फर्स्ट रीड द इंग्लिश ट्रांसलेशन, देन वी गो श्लोक बाय श्लोक। सो दिस साधक हु वांट्स टू रियलाइज ब्रह्मन, हु इज कीन ऑन प्रैक्टिसिंग दिस कर्म योग एज इंडिकेटेड इन दिस थर्ड चैप्टर ऑफ द तैतरीय उपनिषद, सच ए अर्नेस्ट सीकर, लेट हिम नॉट डिनाई लॉजिंग्स टू एनीवन। दिस इज द वाउ टू गॉड, therefore he should procure much food by any means whatsoever. To guess he should always say, the food has been prepared for you. If this food is given first, food comes to the giver first. If this food is given in the middle, food comes to the giver in the middle. If this food is given last, food comes to the giver at last. He who knows this obtains the fruit mentioned in the earlier contemplations, he will get plenty. Not only that, he will also get that special capacity of enjoying whatever he gets. Now, let us analyze this one. Such a beautiful manifestation. Kanchana vasatau. Vasatau means, vasati means to stay. Vasati means a person is seeking shelter. He wants to spend one day, one night, whatever it is. Some wandering monks, they want to stay one or two days. I will give some examples also at the appropriate time. If anybody approaches, remember, these instructions are given to people when hotels, motels, transportations were not available. Often people had to walk for long distance, maybe hundreds of miles. On the way, they have to stop somewhere. So, if you remember, even at Kamarpukur, some dharma chatras, they are called satras. Satra means where food is given freely for the pilgrims. So, on the way to Himalayas, many places, Kedarnath, Badrinath, Rishikesh, Uttarkashi, so many of these dharma shala, they are called dharma shala. Shala means a place of residence. Vidya shala means where Vidya is given. Dharmashala means where pilgrims, sannyasins, wandering monks, etc. are given shelter, and some places give shelter, some places give food, because without giving food, shelter becomes practically useless. So, it is a vratam. God has given you plenty. We presume that the person was putting into practice all those contemplations practically, not simply sitting and meditating, I am doing this, I am doing this. So, he must have food ready. And if somebody approaches, when there is no such previous intimation, I am coming at Navi because of the phone, it is possible, but in those days, that's why they are called Atithi. Tithi means a particular time. Atithi means no specified time. They can come at midnight also, sometimes. So if somebody comes, pratyachakshita, they should never be turned away. For what purpose? Vasatau. So this word vasati indicates two meanings. Vasati means to take rest for shelter. But it also means if a guest comes, okay, you sleep in that room outside, do not disturb us, but you will not get any food. No, it is the burden of the responsibility of the householder to provide food. And how do we know? Because that is going to be indicated immediately. Nobody should be rejected. But we also have to be careful. Just blindly do not follow this rule. Anybody comes and knocks, don't open. Especially if there are places, when there are places where hotels are there, motels are there. So if somebody comes, we don't know, especially strangers, don't trust. Many people lost their lives. But very few people are harmful people. These harmful people, their percentage is very less. But then since we do not know who is who, it is better to be cautious about it. So, we have to be very careful. That is the condition nowadays. But in the olden days, if anybody comes, especially if you know somebody, your relatives or friends who happen to be there because of some accident or because of some unplanned reasons, then never say, get the hell out of here. Don't behave like the M's friend. At midnight, his carriage broke down on his way. He was going to Baranagar and he knocked at the house of his friend, and his friend, after long knocking, opened, thoroughly scolded him, asked him practically to get out, and then bolted the door and went back. That was unacceptable, but it was a great eye-opener for him. So if anybody comes, say, Atidhi Devo Bhava, he must be God in that particular form. Even Christian morality tells us the same thing. So, one has to be ready prior. Tasmat, yaya kaya cha vidhaya, bhagvannam prapniyat. So, one must be obtaining plenty of food, either by cultivating or by begging, whatever it is, more than what is necessary for the day must be there. Not only that, if possible, you prepare more. That's why in some areas like Bengal, they prepare more food. And if there is no guest, excess food is there, then that food is called panta bhat. They add a little bit of salt, ginger, etc. to make it tasty, and it is very cooling thing. But especially North India, and especially in so-called previous Punjab, everybody will prepare a few more chapatis so that any wandering monk passes in front of them. Voluntarily, these people used to call them, Baba ji, aap kuch khaye hain? If he says, yes, mother, I have, just now somebody has given me, thank you very much, Narayana bless you. But if somebody says, so far I have not eaten, so aap ajaiye. Even if you give one or two breads, chapatis, huge chapatis, remember, not our Ramakrishna Mission chapatis, huge chapatis, then at least temporarily the hunger will be assuaged. So, whatever be the name, but whatever means by not by hook or crook, but through righteous means, store plenty of food, not only that, prepare it. And then the Upanishad gives us beautiful. Aradhyasma annamithya chakshate. If I explain one, then you understand, apply same thing with the other. Supposing, so, aradhyasma annam ityachakshate. As soon as the guest comes, oh, welcome, food is ready for you. So, do not worry whether we have finished eating and there is no more food left. No. Food is cooked and plenty of food is there. Even if it is not there, you welcome him. You just wash your hands and feet, take your bath, take a few minutes rest, and the housewife meanwhile prepares emergency food. But usually one has to be ready. When God is going to come, God alone knows. We do not know. And then he says, I am just giving one beautiful example from this Upanishad, and then we can apply it to all the three stages are there. If anybody treats guests in this manner, thinking that God has come to me, and he prepares with a beautiful idea, I am serving God, and then prepares tasty food and keeps everything ready, then the result of it is, whenever he requires food, food will come as the result of this, and it should be offered with respect. So three ideas are there. So the feeling with which a person welcomes, and the cleanliness, tastefulness of the food itself, prepared food itself, and the respect with which this person welcomes, makes him sit, makes him feel you are most important in our lives, and then feeds him as if God himself is eating. Keep these ideas. then what is the result of this karma phala? So either in this birth, wherever food will never lack, it will come with respect, tasty food, and with the tenderest, loveliest feelings. If it is next birth, he will be born in a family where plenty of food is available. So, same idea, if somebody's feelings are neither worshipful nor hateful, but a little bit mechanical, and then the preparation is not so good, and the respect he shows to the guest is also not so good, so the exact result will come to him. When he requires, food will come, but it is not given with love, it is not given with respect, and it is not prepared very well. In the next birth also, in the middle age, when he requires food, then this kind of food only will come. Either in this life or in the next life, it will come only in the middle age. But not really. It can come in the early age also, old age also. But as the karma, so the karma phala. As is the action, so also is the result. But there are people with a terrible, inimical, disrespectful, hateful feeling. This ghost has come. So, guest becomes a ghost. And then the preparation is worst preparation, and with a terrible insult, the food is given. Then in this life, he will get exactly the same thing will return to him when he requires, or in the next birth, whenever he requires food, this kind of food will come. So therefore, be careful how you treat the guests, and he who knows it, he does the best, and he gets the best result. Beautiful thoughts, we will talk about them in our next class. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadme Tayo Sritva Pranamami Mohur Moho. May Hiram Krishna, Holy Mother, and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with bhakti. Jai Ramakrishna.